Let's begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. He said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? Well, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these few minutes we have now to study. Bless our understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, if anything, the life of Elijah was not ever dull, was it? He walked in some events and through some things in his life that were just dramatic at all time. I think it's very appropriate that instead of some illness or long sick period, his going to heaven was in a chariot of fire. I have to remind myself every time I think of Elijah, both in his ministry and yet in prospect of what he someday will do, I believe, in prophecy unfulfilled yet. I have to remind myself that James told us that he was a man of like passions like you and I. That he wasn't a spiritual superman. He wasn't a biblical superhero. He was a guy that got up, decided that he loved God, decided that he wanted to follow God, decided that he wanted to be obedient to God, and God blessed his life simply because he made a decision to obey and follow the Lord. I don't think our lives will ever be as legendary as that of Elijah, but I do believe we are capable of praying like Elijah. I do believe we're capable of being faithful like Elijah. I do believe we're capable of being used like Elijah. And if the events of our lives never amount to the high tales of his life, I do believe we can be faithful men and women like he was. There are two great lessons from the life of Elijah, and I won't dwell long on these tonight, but I want to get to Elisha. But two great things I think we can learn from the life of Elijah. Number one is obey God even when the circumstances seem impossible. Just obey God. You know, that's such a simple thing to say. Obey God. Obey God even when the circumstances seem impossible. It's hard for us to sit here in 2013 in the lives that we've led, in the place that we've led them, and understand what it took for Elijah to stand before Ahab and Jezebel and declare that it was not going to rain. To even come into their presence, but to come into their presence with a message that was designed to bring them to judgment. Can you imagine the courage that that took? Can you imagine how you would have had to have absolutely, implicitly trusted God to put your life in front of those people and declare that prophecy to them? Can you imagine what it was to obey God and stay by a brook in the wilderness when what had been promised you was that a raven would bring your food every day and that your life-sustaining liquid will be this creek that is running here, and that every day you stay, you see the running water get less and less and less. And yet God told you to go there, God told you to stay there, and you've got such faith that even when it seems like it would be impossible for God to sustain you in that place, you stay there. I'm just saying, sometimes we just overlook what incredible faith it took for Elijah to do what God had told him to do and to do it faithfully. You ever think what kind of faith it would take to look into a barrel of meal that was the last meal of a widow and her son and demand that the cake that she's about to make she give to you? And then for every day, for years beyond that, all three of you look into the barrel and it's still just enough at the bottom to make a cake for the next meal. And yet you stay there and you stay there and you recognize that where you're staying in this widow is in a pagan capital of the world. And yet, even though it's impossible to think that the barrel will continue to feed all of you, you just obey God. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to see that. Help us to see how meager our faith is. When God asks us to do that which is entirely possible, and we quail at it. I'm simply saying, if you want to learn something from Elijah's life, learn that he was obedient even when it seemed impossible. I wonder how many of us today would think that any of those three things, confronting power, trusting God to deliver your food by a raven, watching a brook dry up, going to a widow in the pagan capital of the world and allowing that barrel of meal to sustain you. I wonder if any of us would say, seems like a good life plan. I think I'm willing for God to call me to do that. No, he had great faith. You know, we understand from his life that faith is not an intellectual experience. It is something to be lived. Here's the second great lesson I learned from Elijah's life. be faithful even when being faithful doesn't make any sense. Trust God and obey God even when the circumstances seem impossible. But now let's try this one. Be faithful even when it makes no sense to be faithful. After Elijah confronts Ahab and Jezebel, he is sent into those wilderness for 3 years. And at the end of those 3 years of living at that brook and feeding from the raven's mouth, he has absolutely nothing to show for it. Ahab and Jezebel are still in charge. Baalism is still the religion of the land. And the people of Israel, not only have they not been revived, their hearts have actually become hardened because they saw the confrontation, but then they saw the disappearance of the prophet. I'm just saying that at that point, 3 years in, after living by the brook for 3 years, it might have occurred to me, ooh, I failed. It might have occurred to me, this doesn't work. It might have occurred to me, I must have missed what God said. But at no time did Elijah think he missed what God said. He did and continued to do what God told him to do. Hey, listen, we live in a culture and in a generation where the average life of a Christian, a born-again believer being on fire for God, is less than 3 years. And that's when everything is going well. Live the life of Elijah and decide, I'm going to be faithful, even when it makes no sense. You follow the Lord, but it seems like you have more problems than before. It seems like you have fewer friends, and even your family thinks you're strange. You ever been there? And the devil tempts you with the thought, why are you doing this? What's the point? And yet Elijah makes the decision, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to obey God even when it seems impossible. And I'm going to be faithful even when being faithful doesn't seem to make any sense. Would to God we would learn those two lessons and apply them to our lives today. And then we come to Elisha in this passage. In the life of Elisha, in this first days of his ministry, I see two great tests that he faced. And I'll tell you, I think there's great lessons in them for our lives today. Here's number one. Elisha, in this time of transition, faces a test of endurance. Elijah announces to Elisha that he will be going to Bethel, but Elisha, he wants to stay in Gilgal. And Elisha won't have anything to do with that. Elisha says, no, I'm going to serve you. And if you're going, I'm going to go. And wherever you go, I'm going to go. It was something that he was committed to. And he knows something is about to happen. And he's not going to be turned away from it. Other prophets hear what Elijah has said. And they too know that something is up. And they go to Elisha and they say, Elisha, I think your master, something's up there. And Elisha is almost overwrought with emotion, but he says to them, I know it. I see it. I'm going to go with him. Upon reaching Bethel, the Lord directs Elijah to go on to Jericho. And once again, Elijah comes to Elisha and he says to him, you remain in Bethel. I'm going to go on by myself. And once again, the prophets, the school of the prophets, 50 of them come to Elisha as if he needs somebody to come to him and tell him, hey, we think something's up with your master. And he says, I know something's up with my master. And I'm going to go with him. And I'm not going to stay here. In truth, all of them know that Elijah is leaving. Elijah and Elisha leave Jericho together. And they're followed by the 50 prophets from the school of the prophets. And as they leave Jericho, they come to Jordan. And Elijah takes the mantle that he had once placed on Elisha's shoulders and he doubles it up and he smites Jordan with it. And Jordan divides, I love how the Bible says, hither and thither. And it runs back on itself and he and Elisha cross over on dry ground. I have weird thoughts when I read the Bible. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, can you imagine what the 50 guys 300 yards back are thinking? as they see the water of Jordan. I mean, they're Bible college students, right? And they're watching Elijah and Elisha, and they see Jordan roll back on itself. Man, you talk about conversation at the coffee shop. That was going to provide. Again, Elisha, you stay here. I'll go on by myself. And again, Elisha says, no way. I committed to this. I committed to be with you. And I don't care whether it's a day of routine or whether it's a special day. I committed that I would go with you. Now let me just stop and try to pull this together for just a moment. What's the big deal? One time Elijah says, I'm going, you stay. Elisha says, no way. A second time Elijah says, you stay, I'm going. Elisha says, no way. A third time Elijah says, you stay, I'm going. And Elisha says, no, I've committed myself to a ministry of serving you. And I don't care where and I don't care how. Where you go, I go. And I'll tell you what I love about that. And I'll tell you what I believe God honors in Elijah's life. He endured. He didn't quit. He kept going. He did what he said he was going to do. And though Elijah tried, and by the way, it wasn't that Elijah didn't want Elisha around. It was that he was testing him. He wanted to see what this young man was made of. He wanted to see, do you really mean what you say? Are you really going to keep your word? Is your commitment for real? And Elisha was for real. I think one of the things believers need today more than anything else is a spirit of endurance. A spirit that says, I will be there and you can count on me and I will do what I said I would do. You know who I believe God reveals great truths to? Those who endure. Those who stick it out. Those who find time to be in the Word every morning. Those who find time to be in the service. Those who find time to minister. Those who find time to fulfill commitments. We live in a world where, honestly, people will promise one thing one day and forget it the next day. We live in a world where I don't even think people understand the importance of the church they serve in. And church has become what's good for them, not a place for them to serve and do what's good for others. And I think a lot of believers miss a lot of the blessing of God because they can't stay with anything for more than a month. Commitment. I'll be honest with you, our commitment, it's so cheap anymore. Elisha said, no, sir. I told you I'd be there and I'll be there. And I don't care if it's at Jericho, and I don't care if it's at Gilgal, and I don't care if it's in the wilderness when we cross Jordan. If you're going there, I'm going there. And I think it's a whole lot more than just these three times, but I think Elisha became the man that he became because through these testings with Elijah, God knew he could count on him. God knew that what Elisha had said he would do, Elisha would do. Elisha was the kind of guy that showed up for devotions every morning. Elisha was the kind of guy that his word was his bond. Elisha was the kind of guy that when he committed to do something, he followed through and did it. God said, that's the kind of man I need. That's the kind of man I want to use. He endured. I want you to see, secondly, that there was a spiritual vision that was given to Elisha that wasn't given to the rest. I'm hurrying, but notice in verse 11 and 12. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now I want to ask you a question today. And I don't you just wish church was 2 hours? Now stay with me. Was Elijah taken up by a chariot of fire and a horses of fire, or was he taken up by a whirlwind? You know, we have this picture in our minds that he got up into a chariot and evidently maybe Jesus was driving the chariot or a powerful angel was driving the chariot and he cracked the whip and up went the chariot. But I want you to understand something. I can't tell you for sure whether he went up in a chariot of fire with horses of fire or not. What I can tell you is that the Bible says he went up in a whirlwind, but the Bible says that Elisha saw and Elijah saw a chariot of fire and horses of fire, but I believe the Bible teaches us that the other 50 prophets didn't see it. They saw Elijah go up. They saw an incredible whirlwind. They saw Elijah's body picked up off the ground and whirling around, taken up and out of sight. And when Elisha came back across Jordan and took that mantle off of his shoulders that had dropped right there and smacked Jordan and Jordan parted, boy, the prophet said, wow, something different about him. The spirit of Elijah doth rest on him. But when he came back to them, here's what they said to him. Hey, we know why you rent your clothes. We know why you appear to be so emotional. That wind took your master away. We need to go look for him. Why did Elisha say, don't go look? Because Elisha had seen the chariot and the horses and they had not. Why did Elisha see it and they did not? I believe because of his faithfulness. Because of his commitment. Because of his endurance. Because of his willingness to go all the way with Elijah. Because of his servant's heart. Elijah and Elisha, they're standing there. And here comes the chariot of fire and the horses of fire. The Bible says it divided them asunder. And then it says the whirlwind took Elijah up. You ever wonder why some people see things you don't see? And I don't mean visions and dreams. You ever wonder why some people just see spiritual truth? Could it have something to do with endurance and commitment? Could it have something to do with passion to follow, passion to obey, passion to be faithful? Elisha says to him, don't go search. There's no use to go search. Why is he acting like that? Because he saw that God had done it. He saw the vision and he knew it was God that took him up. And they made him ashamed. How can you not go look for your master? Didn't you see the wind take him? Finally, he's so ashamed, he says, go look. And 50 men looked for 3 days. And they tried to figure it out. A wind would take you this far. You were whirling this way. You'd go. And they couldn't find him. You know why? Because he wasn't there. And there was one guy who understood it. The man who had endured. The man who had served. The man who was committed. The man who had walked the full path. The man who would not be turned back. He saw his master go up. What do we learn from Elijah's life? Even when it seems impossible, obey God. What do we learn from Elijah's life? Be faithful, even when it doesn't seem like being faithful is paying off. Elisha learns those lessons, and Elisha says, I'm going to endure. I took on a job and I'm going to do this job and I don't care how difficult it is and I don't care how far I have to follow you and how difficult it is to get there. I promised and I'm following through. And because of that endurance, he sees. He sees what 50 other prophets couldn't see because he had learned faithfulness and endurance. From that old man Elijah. He said, if Elijah can obey and be faithful, to stand before Ahab and Jezebel. If Elijah can be faithful and obey and live by that brook and watch it dry up. And if Elijah can be faithful and obey God and look in that barrel every day believing it's going to provide. And if Elijah can be faithful and call down fire, then I will follow my master. I will be faithful. I will endure. And he saw what Elijah saw. Could the missing ingredient in our lives be that absolute commitment to be faithful, to endure, to do, obey God faithfully, even when everyone around us is saying, why are you doing that? I end with this. Elijah, Elisha, and the Bible says the chariot and the fiery horses come down and divide them asunder. And one is taken up and one remains. Now, can I tell you what that reminds me of? Reminds me of a rapture. Being taken up, being caught up. And one of these days, it's not going to be a chariot of fire. It is going to be the Son of God Himself. He's going to come to the clouds and He's going to shout and the trump's going to sound and there's going to be a great dividing. Those who are saved and those who are unsaved. And those who are saved are going to be changed and they're going to go up. And I say, preacher, why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? Well, because as we look forward to the time we go up, we must also spend time being reminded of what has taken place. And that all of this in our lives is possible not because of us, but because of the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait for the day that we are taken up, can you? But every day I live, I want to be faithful, understanding that I have been given salvation because Jesus Christ took my place and paid the penalty for my sin on the cross at Calvary. That's really what we do for the rest of this evening. We remember what He has done, and we are reminded that He is yet coming again. Would you pray with me? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and for Your blessings in our lives. We thank You for the truth of the salvation that we enjoy. And we understand tonight that that salvation is because of Your faithfulness, because of Your love. We understand we're saved tonight by grace and grace alone. And Lord, we thank You tonight for so loving us that when You saw our need, You came and died in our place on the cross at Calvary. You suffered great poverty that we might be made rich. And today we're saved and we have the promise of heaven because of You. And Lord, we look forward to that time when You will return and catch us up to meet You in the air. So shall we ever be with our Lord. But Lord, help us in these days that You give us to live upon this earth, to be faithful, to be obedient, to be reminded of how You have changed us and what You want us to be. And Lord, as we gather at Your table tonight, we thank You for Your love, but we express our love to You and our gratitude. And Lord, as we consider our lives, help us to every day be committed to become the men and the women, the boys and girls that You want us to be, that we might please You. Lord, we love You and we thank You in Jesus' name.